it's Christmas, and we want to look at a passage in Luke, and get reminded about the Christmas story and what a blessing it is. So if you have your Bibles, can you turn with me to the Gospel of Luke? We'll look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And can we all stand, if you're able, stand in reverence for the Word of God? And this is God's Word. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Let's pray. Father, this is just such a wonderful time to think about Christmas and the giving of your son. This is one of the most amazing events in world history, where, Lord, you entered into this world and you took on flesh to become a man, to become a servant, to become a savior of sinners. Lord, the things that we will ponder today are for our joy and for our peace. And so we pray your Spirit would impress your word upon us and remind us that the gospel is indeed good news of great joy, and that we could all rejoice together as your church for the hope that we have in your Son. So Lord, bless this time, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Doesn't it always seem that Christmas kind of creeps up on you? All of a sudden, the year has come and it's gone. You feel like you just blinked and all of a sudden the year is over. And as we come to the end of the year and as we're looking back, perhaps it hasn't been an easy year for you. You know, it's often that Christmas is a bit paradoxical, and Pastor Aaron has referred to that a little bit, but you know, Christmas is a festive time, isn't it? A time to rejoice, get together with family, gifts are given, the lights are up, you're eating good food, but you know, sometimes in the midst of all that festivity, you know, you're kind of at a low point. And for some of us, as we look back on this year and as we come into Christmas, maybe for you, work has just been crazy and demanding and just stressful. Maybe business hasn't gone as you would hope that it would have. It's been a tough year for you in that sense. For some of you, maybe it's your health. You're still struggling in your health in one way or another, and maybe that's your low. If you have one, for some of you, you've given a lot of time to loved ones who are sick. Some of you have family issues that you're working through, and it's not easy, and you're actually anticipating things to be really hard as you get together for Christmas. Maybe that's some of you. For some of us, this past year for our marriages, it's been tough, and it's still tough, and you're still working through it, but you're still committed to your spouse, but it's just been hard. And maybe some of us are there. I know there's some of us here who are students, who are studying, and that's been stressful too. And maybe things haven't turned out as you'd wanted it to have turned out. And so you're coming to the end of this year and you're looking back and you're like, hey, it's been hard. And maybe you're here sitting here and it's like, you know, I'm kind of struggling a little bit, you know. And that happens. That happens. But you know, if that's you, and you're coming here and you're like, I need a blessing from God, I need to be lifted up by God, then you're in the right place, because the Christmas story is here to lift up the low. Because Christmas is all about God looking down upon our lowly state, loving us and blessing us, and blessing us with his Son, Jesus Christ. But if I can be more specific, blessing us with the kingship of Jesus Christ. And we find in our story that Jesus, he's a very different kind of king. He's not like a Caesar who taxes and takes, but he came as a lowly servant to serve and to lift up the lowly. Luke, as he begins chapter 2, he says, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. And as he continues on, Luke, he sets Jesus' birth in human history, doesn't he? He talks about real people, Caesar Augustus, Quirinius, governor of Syria. He talks about real places, doesn't he? He talks about Galilee, Nazareth, Judea, Bethlehem. Luke is not writing some made-up story that is only supposed to have metaphorical meaning, but he's writing about something that is true and that happened. And it's something amazing. He's talking about a time in which God had entered the world and had entered human history. And he says that a census was decreed by Caesar Augustus. Caesar Augustus, the first Roman emperor. The month of August is named after Caesar Augustus. So we still feel a little bit of his legacy even today. And interestingly, it's in the decree of this census that it forces Joseph and Mary to pack their bags and to head down to Bethlehem. And if we think about it, this was no baby moon for them. Traveling was difficult at that time. There were hills and valleys, and they didn't take a direct shot, probably, to Bethlehem. They probably went around Samaria. And think about Mary. She's in her last trimester. It probably took anywhere from 8 to 10 days. And if you think about it like that, it puts in perspective delayed flights that we get upset about. Like, this was really difficult. And part of me wonders what their reaction was when they realized they had to go down to Bethlehem. Probably their anxiety was increased. Maybe a little bit of frustration. Like, why, God, why does it have to be this way? Why do we have to go down to Bethlehem in the last trimester? And you know, if I was Mary and Joseph, and the angels had come to us saying, you're blessed, you're carrying the Messiah, I'd probably be thinking, okay, I have the favor of God. And so this is going to be the easiest, smoothest pregnancy and delivery ever, because I'm carrying the Messiah. But that was not to be the case. This was not going to be easy. It was not going to be trouble-free. And Mary and Joseph, by carrying the king, they were beginning to taste something of his kingdom. They're beginning to taste the kingdom of God. And they were learning that it's not all trouble-free. It's not all smooth. It's not all easy. God may ask of us to do difficult things. And in this story, we really do see the mystery and wonder of God's providence on display. Because Micah, the prophet Micah, had prophesied that the Christ would be born in Bethlehem. And so we see that Joseph and Mary's difficult journey to Bethlehem, it had purpose. And that should make us all pause. Anytime for us we feel like life is taking a detour, or it's difficult, we always know God's hand is in our life, that it has purpose. And I want us to think about this. God leads them to Bethlehem by the decree of the Roman Emperor, Caesar Augustus. And so just try to understand this, that in a far-off land, in the palace of the king, in the heart of the king, God is at work, and he's accomplishing his purpose. And the kicker is that he's even using the pride and greed of the emperor to ultimately do his will. Well, they reach Bethlehem, and while there, the scriptures say very simply that it was time for Mary to give birth. And I wonder what Joseph was thinking when he got to Bethlehem. He was probably thinking this: let's get registered and let's get going. But the contractions begin to set in, right? And can you imagine the panic? Can you imagine some of the anxiety there? And they're first-time parents, aren't they? And imagine Joseph, where are we going to have this baby? Where are we going to have this baby? No midwife, no local hospital. And perhaps they're thinking, God, is this how it's supposed to go? And I think about for us, you know, for those of you who've experienced having a child, boy, if just one thing goes wrong, we begin to panic. I can't even imagine how it was for Joseph and Mary. Well, as the story continues, we realize that the best place that they could find to give birth to Jesus was in the stables, among the animals. And for all of us, can we just take in the sights and the sounds and the smell of that? What that was really like? You know, we often drive by and see these beautiful nativity scenes and it looks cute and nice. But if you were there that first Christmas night, it wasn't a pretty scene. And have you guys ever been to an animal farm? Children, have you been to an animal farm? You know how it smells, right? That's what it smelled like where Jesus gave birth. And I think about some of the germaphobes who are in our congregation. I mean, can you imagine if you're Joseph and Mary and you're going to have that baby in the stables, right? For all of us, when we handle babies, I mean, we got the hand sanitizer going on and everything before we handle the baby. This was just so different. And it says that they laid him in a manger. Now, let me confess something. For a long time, I really didn't know what a manger was. Actually, I thought the manger was maybe the stable or something like that. Well, today we're all going to know what a manger is. It's a feeding trough or a feeding container for the animals, right? Don't think about a manger as this wooden cradle that's nice and clean. This was a feeding trough for animals. And that's where they laid Jesus. And the scriptures tell us why. The scriptures explain. They say because there was no room in the inn for them. You can kind of picture it. Bethlehem. Bethlehem was probably flooded with travelers because of the census. So everyone needed a place to stay. And no doubt, what's implied here is that Joseph, he actually tried to find a place in the inn. And I bet you anything, Joseph pleaded with them. And you better believe he used that card, "Hey, my wife just had a baby." And yet, even still, to no avail. In the end, we know that there was no pity for him, for whoever was the owner. And I'm just imagining that scene where he's talking with the owner, and perhaps there were even onlookers looking at this scene as here Joseph is pleading for a place in the inn. And maybe some of these onlookers, they had rooms reserved, but they're watching Joseph, but they're unwilling to give up their room because they don't want to be out in the cold at night. No one takes them in. Nobody. And when we think about that, we learn something about Joseph and Mary. They were young. They were poor. They didn't have any connections. They didn't have any privileges. They didn't have any wealth. They didn't have anything to secure any kind of accommodations. And here they are, they're just pushed out. I remember that kind of feeling early on in my life when I was a young kid. I remember going to my friend's birthday party, and we went to an Oakland A's game, and it was bat day, and so we all got bats. We're all excited about that. We got there early, and we went down to the field or to the front row seats, and we saw Ricky Henderson, who was on the A's at that time, signing autographs. And so we all had our bats, and we're like reaching out to Ricky Henderson, and we're like, "Hey, Ricky, can you sign, you know, the bat?" And I remember I remember seeing Ricky Henderson's face, and there was just one person in front of me. And so I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to get his autograph today. And so I'm sticking out my bat. But all of a sudden, everyone begins to rush in, squeeze in. And all of a sudden, I find myself being pushed out. And all of a sudden, I'm like five people back. And there's no way I'm going to get his autograph. I get pushed last, get left out. And I remember that ride back. A bunch of my friends, they had their bats signed and they were looking at it. I was like the only one who didn't have it signed. But that feeling of everyone crowding in, and for whatever reason, life takes a turn and you're like last and you're left out and you're pushed out. I think some of us know what that feeling is like. And that's kind of what happened here with Joseph and Mary. And can you imagine that? Joseph and Mary, that moment where they realize, oh my goodness, we don't have a place to stay. And they're facing a cold, dark night outside. No place to stay. And it's something we're thinking about, that Jesus, on his first night on earth, that he would be homeless. You know, if Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior King, you know, we're shocked by what we read. We're shocked by the humble, lowly circumstances of his birth. Here, this is the Son of God, and he's homeless. And he's lying in a feeding trough surrounded by the stench of animals. And when you read this, you can't help but think, man, Jesus deserves better. You're kind of cringing. And you're also thinking, wow, I was born under better circumstances than Jesus. My children have been born in better circumstances than Jesus. But at the same time, we see here that God's hand was clearly at work, and he had orchestrated this whole thing. And why did it have to be this way? And we should ask that. Why did it have to be this way? Why did Jesus have to enter into this world homeless, last, pushed out, left out, no pity, no compassion? And it's because our King would not be like other kings, and that he would come as a lowly servant, and not to be served, but to serve. And his birth sets the tone that here Jesus, he would not know wealth. He would not know privilege. He would not know the comforts of this world. As he says, the Son of Man has no place to rest his head. And you see, the manger, it prophesies about the cross. And that what was first would point to what would be last. Because at the end of Jesus' life, he would be laid on another piece of lowly wood. It wouldn't be a manger, but it would be a cross. born among animals, and then he would die among thieves. And what's important for us to understand is that he came as a lowly servant to serve the lowly and to save the lowly. You know, have some of us experienced, and perhaps experienced recently, some kind of suffering of living in this cold and cruel world? Have some of us experienced some kind of suffering of living in this inhospitable world where there was no pity, no compassion? You find yourself pushed out, left out, made last. No worldly status to help you. No comfort to protect you. Has it been that way this past year? Are you discouraged? Maybe even hopeless or feeling helpless in that? See here, this is the good news, that Jesus came for you. Jesus came for you. And how about those of us who feel that lowliness of spirit? You do experience homelessness, but of a different kind. One where just you find that life, there's no place to stop and to breathe and to rest and to get comfortable. You can't even remember the last time life felt that way. Maybe that's you, or maybe lowly in spirit in this way, that you have shamed God in your life, that you're painfully aware that you have dishonored him in your life, or that you're living a certain way that is dishonoring to God, and you find yourself, you are low before him. There's good news for you too. You see, the reason why Jesus came so low is to serve and to minister to those who are low and to lift you up and to forgive you of all your wrongs and to speak his love and forgiveness to you. You see, this is what's so wonderful about Christmas. We learn about our King and who he was and what he came to accomplish. And so if there's any of us feeling low in any way, feeling like, man, I need to be lifted up, understand that Jesus came exactly for those reasons. You know, there's such a wonder about Christmas, isn't there? If we take time to think about it, if we can get past all the presents. Here you have baby Jesus, the Son of God. The Son of God, and he's lying in a manger, and can you see the paradox in that? Be bothered by that. Be bewildered by that. But ultimately be blessed by that. Be blessed by that. You see, God saw us in our lowliness, and he loved us, and he pursued us, and he entered into human history and entered into this world and came as a lowly servant to lift you up, to serve you. And you know, this Christmas season, we all need to hear that we're loved, don't we? We all need to hear that we're loved. And you see, the birth of Jesus speaks that to us loud and clear, no matter what circumstances we're going through, no matter even the suffering we might be dealing with. And what is the power of the truth of Christmas? You know, I think about those who are in the inn and those who are in the stables. You know, those who were in the inn, They enjoyed a nice night of comfort and of warmth. But it was a worldly kind of comfort, wasn't it? And it was temporary. But let's turn to those who were in the stable. Yeah, it was a cold, dark night. But there was a comfort that they had that those in the inn can't even compare with. One that was heavenly and one that was eternal. And in a bit of irony, if you just look at, I mean, it's in the cold, dark night in those stables that these people were experiencing the greatest joy that they ever had, the greatest comfort that they ever had, the greatest hope that they ever had. And at that point, would they have exchanged that for one night in the inn? Absolutely not. That's how great baby Jesus, the Savior, was to them. And see, that's how it ought to minister to us too. Because you know what? What might be surrounding our life is a bit of coldness or darkness. We might be struggling in one way or another. We might be brought low in one way or another. But we have Jesus. And isn't he everything? And doesn't he give us the warmth and the comfort that we ultimately need? And so, brothers and sisters, can we think about that picture of those who were there in the stables? Cold, dark, homeless night, and yet the greatest joy that they ever had. And that same gift that was given to them is a gift that is given to us. And so this Christmas season, maybe even if the under the festivities things are a bit hard, can we remember Jesus? Can we remember what Christmas is really all about? Can we remember how much our Savior loves us and cares for us and how much he pursued us? And that if even now you feel like you are at the lowest place, Jesus came low to meet us where we are, to lift us up. Remember our Jesus, not only the King, but the servant King. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the story of Christmas is one of those amazing stories that we forget about. We forget how glorious it is, how amazing it is. And Lord, help us to be able to stand back from perhaps all the distractions of Christmas, to stand back and see what this story is declaring to us so clearly and so powerfully. It is that you love us. You love us even in our lowliest state. You love us. And you came to lift us up and to give us joy and hope. And Lord, I pray that you would remind us of your great love for us as we have a fresh remembrance of Christmas. And for those who need a spiritual lift, who need a blessing from you, O Lord, through your Holy Spirit, may the good news of great joy of the gospel of Jesus Christ come and just minister to us and strengthen us. O Lord, and give us great joy that we do have a reason to sing. We do. For you sent your Son to be our servant King. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.